News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
You will undoubtedly have seen that Electric Ireland announced that it's going to raise energy prices for its residential customers from the start of July. And the price hikes are going to be in the region of 8% and gas likely to rise by 7.7% at the same time. Now, of course, the issue is that we have been told that until normality is returned in the Straits of Hormuz, we are likely to see wholesale energy prices remain high. Likewise, there is still the impact of the Russian attack on Ukraine and what that is doing to international gas prices. And not only that, a lot of the analysts that you would have heard on this program over the last number of weeks have said that even if normality is returned to the Straits of Hormuz, it will take a significant time for that to wash through into the markets and us see price declines. So what does that mean for autumn? What does that mean for winter? Lisa Ryan is with us, Professor in Energy Economics in UCD. Are we looking at the start of a trend, do you think, Lisa?
Well, good morning, Anton. It's difficult to predict always, but it's true that Electric Ireland is the last of the suppliers to, well, most of them did already increase last autumn, and they're sort of the last of that. So maybe not if the, you know, the Middle East situation improves. You could imagine that it'll stabilize now, but if it doesn't improve, they may continue to increase. It's difficult to predict. Our gas prices on the wholesale market are higher than they have been, substantially higher than they have been in the last year. So I guess Electric Ireland have been holding off to wait and see what would happen, but they look like they're going to be high for a while now.
And how much freedom do the energy companies have in selecting the prices, or is that tightly regulated?
There's different components to the prices, you know. So they have the standing charge, there's the taxes, there's the another levy that they pay, and then there's the unit electricity price, the energy price. And that energy price they can increase because that they, you know, the market was deregulated for retailers, and so that they can increase.
Now, Lisa, people will compare this with what we've heard in recent days about the percentage of solar that is now contributing to the grid, to the percentage of renewables that are now on the grid, and say, well, if we've managed to transition as much as we have away from fossil fuels, why isn't that delivering cost reductions?
Well, I suppose you have to compare with what the price would be without it. Unfortunately, in Ireland, so the main things that are causing the cost increases are the energy, so the components that comes from the Middle East, or well, from fossil fuels, which is gas or oil, and then the other part is our network charges. The unit energy price, so the bit that's coming from the energy, that there are studies showing that if we didn't have such amount of wind and solar on the system, that those prices would be higher. So although our prices are very high, they would be higher if we didn't have wind and solar. The fact is that when you have natural gas in your system, we have about 50% or 40 to 50% of our electricity is generated from natural gas. Unfortunately, that drives the price up substantially because it is the highest price in the market, and that will be the clearing price. So until we get rid of gas, or at least really substantially reduce it down, we are faced with this problem all the time. And I mean, households that have invested in solar, they are just using the solar for themselves, and that's probably the most efficient way to use that, so that they can basically offset their electricity bills.
Now, when you crunch the numbers, obviously there are ideological questions around renewables, there's ideological questions around nuclear, but in terms of just cost efficiency, for us to wean ourselves off fossil fuels, what's the best bang for buck way to do it?
Well, as a country, I mean, our best resource by far is wind. And we have, you know, we still haven't developed our offshore wind system, but we have, you know, the best offshore wind resource in the world, ourselves in Scotland. So that is the one that we should be developing. The challenge is, of course, that if you do that, it's not just about the wind. You also need to have the whole grid ready to go, and that is going to keep, because we are a little bit behind in that as well, unfortunately, excuse me, we need to invest in the grid, and that is going to keep in contributing to these network and standing charges that we see in our bill. So although we're going to be bringing our unit energy costs down with offshore renewables and any kind of wind, unfortunately, we're going to still have to increase the payments to the grid, no matter which energy source we use, actually, because we're behind in that. So it's kind of a situation where the energy costs come down, but the grid fixed charge that we're going to have to pay is going to continue to increase, I think, over the next few years. So it is very difficult.
Lisa, thank you. I think Lisa Ryan, Professor in Energy Economics in UCD there.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.